Well, if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to John chapter 8. Last week, we talked about the second I am of Jesus, where Jesus, he was in the temple, and he declared in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So last week we discussed that God is light. That God is light, there is no darkness in Him. And as we discovered in our study last week, that God even created temporary physical light at the very beginning when He said, let there be light. He created the sun and the moon and even the stars to put light upon the earth. Until that day that God comes and dwells with us on the new heaven and the new earth, when His glory will be our light. His light will guide us. His light will reveal His flawlessness of character and of being. Because there will be no more sun, no more moon, because God will be our everlasting light, as it says in Revelations 20 and 21. But until that day, living in a sinful world, God has given us glimpses of light. The Israelites saw in the wilderness when the pillar of fire guided them by night when they could not see, it would go before them and it would give them light. But God also wanted to give more than just the physical light or the pillar of fire light, but He also wants to give us while we're here this spiritual light. And we talked last week that one of His primary ways of giving us the spiritual light is through His Word. His Word reveals who He is. His Word guides us. His Word reveals to us how to live a righteous life. His Word reveals that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. That He is the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everything with God is light. Is light. And then Jesus came and He declared that He was the light of the world. Jesus who brought the light of salvation. Jesus who was the light. Jesus who was at the beginning of creation. He created the physical light. Jesus who was the one who led the Israelites by the pillar of fire at night. Jesus who will be the light in the New Jerusalem. Jesus who gave us the light of the written word. And Jesus who died on the cross and brought us the light of salvation. Jesus is the light of the world. Do you believe that today? That He is the light of the world. He is our light even now. Have your Bibles, John chapter 8. I'm going to start with verse 12 again and let us read. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. And Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I came from or where I'm going. And you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. And they said to him, therefore, where is your Father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I am not of this world. After Jesus declared, I am the light of the world, as we see here, Jesus, the Pharisees did not like what Jesus said. They rejected Jesus. Jesus offered the people their light. He offered the religious leaders light. Yet they rejected him and continued to walk in darkness. And there are a lot of things that we could talk about in this passage. But some of them we have already addressed in previous chapters in John chapter 7 and in John chapter 5. But in these three, in this passage, there are three defining differences we can learn about light and darkness. And I want to focus on these this morning in this passage. Because many of these arguments that they're bringing before Jesus, he's addressed in John chapter 5. He was already in Jerusalem and addressed them. They're just kind of rehashing some of the things. And Jesus is just laying out what he said before to them. But I do see in this passage three differences, three things that we can learn, three differences about light and darkness from this passage. The first difference we see is this, that those in darkness cannot understand the light. Just like I was saying, the Pharisees challenges Jesus on his own testimony. They say, hey, you've testified of yourself. Your testimony is not legally viable. You need two or three witnesses, is what they needed in the Jewish culture. Even though Jesus was already in Jerusalem, Jesus already told them that if he bore witness about himself, that his witness was not true. So Jesus brought before them five witnesses in John chapter 5 when he was in Jerusalem. You don't think that they analyzed everything Jesus said and did from the day he proclaimed who he was? They did. They dissected all of his words. And the five witnesses who would testify of him were one, John the Baptist, two, his father. His works testify of who he is, the scripture, and Moses. But they did not get it. Why did they not get it? He was light. They were darkness. Darkness cannot understand light. The defining difference between darkness and light is this. Those in darkness cannot understand the light. They're blind. They're lost. They cannot understand the truth of God. Paul's word rings true in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that says this. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man without God walks in darkness. They cannot understand the things of God. To him, they are foolishness, as Paul says, or folly. You can argue to someone about the existence of God. You could try to convince people about the truth of God's word, the fulfillment of prophecy that took place in Christ over 400 years before it took place. You could argue with people that Jesus is God's son, but until the Holy Spirit opens their eyes, yes, the light of salvation turns on in their mind through the Holy Spirit, they will never get it. Now, I'm not saying that we should not defend our faith. I'm not saying that we should not be able to give a good defense of why that we have the hope of the hope that is within us, why we should not give a defense, but we need to understand that it is a work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot intellectually get someone into the kingdom of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, because no one could come to the Father and to Jesus unless the Father draws him. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The darkness cannot understand truth, just like these Pharisees. Jesus has already told them, and they keep rejecting. They don't get it. They're blind leaders of the blind. They're in darkness. The second difference between light and darkness is this. Those in darkness will always reject Jesus, God's Son. Look in verse 19. Jesus says to religious leaders here, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." See, the religious leaders have already rejected Jesus, and by rejecting Jesus, they were rejecting the Father. They thought they knew God. They thought they were in. They were the religious leaders. They held strict to the law, yet they rejected Jesus. And by rejecting Jesus, they rejected God. Do you remember in John 14, Philip's question to Jesus? When Jesus was in the upper room before he was crucified, and Philip says to him, "Show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Show us the Father." And Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been with you so long, Philip, and you haven't known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Why do you ask me to show you the Father? It's me. It is me." See, the Father and the Son are a package deal. You can't have one without the other. You can't reject Jesus and know God the Father. Yes, children of darkness may be very religious and declare to those around them, "I believe in God." Or, "I believe in moral absolutes." Or, "I believe in being good." But they will always reject Jesus, God's Son. Just like these Pharisees did. They thought they knew God, but they rejected Jesus, and then by rejecting Jesus, they rejected God. Just like these Pharisees. If you're in darkness, they always reject the Son ultimately. But there's the third and final difference I see in this passage between light and darkness is this. The light is not of this world. And we're going to camp on this for a moment this morning. Because in verse 23, Jesus said this, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." There is one huge difference between Jesus and the Pharisees. The Pharisees are of the world, and Jesus was not of this world. The big difference between Jesus and them is he was not of this world. Do you realize this morning, you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are not of this world? Do you believe it? Are you living it? You are not of this world. I am not of this world. Because we are what? Children of light. Children of darkness? We are children of light. If you've accepted Jesus and you've come to him as your Savior and your Lord, and you've given him your light, you are a child of light. A child of light. Just as light is completely different from darkness, so we are called to be in this dark world. We are not of this world. Before Christ became our Lord and Savior, we were children of darkness. We were lost. We were blind. We were held in captive by sin and death. And then a miracle took place in our lives. God's light pierced into our darkness. He opened our eyes to our sin and judgment. He opened our eyes to Jesus, the light of the world. And we became children of light. Ephesians 5:8 says this, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We are light. And we are not of this world, and we are to walk as children of light. Are you walking as a child of light today? Not only here, but where you walk, do people see light? Because it's so important to God's very heart for us that we are not of this world. We are to be separate and different. Do you remember when Jesus went his last, they call it the high priestly prayer in John 17. And Jesus is praying for his disciples, and then he prays for those that would come to know him through his disciples. And as he's praying for his disciples in John 17, 14, beginning in verse 14, listen to this portion of the prayer. Jesus says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world. Just as I am not of this world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." We are not of this world. We are children of light. We are not of this world. And we are to walk as children of light. We are called to be different, unique, and separate from the world. And when I look at the church of Jesus Christ today, I am greatly concerned. It seems that the church has become more like the world than less. The world seems like it has crept into our churches, and it is unopposed. I mean, do you remember John's warning in 1 John 2:15 and 16? When John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you hear this warning to you and to myself this morning? Love not the world. Because the world is like a seductress that is trying to seduce us with her pleasures. She calls out to us. She wants to make love to us. Yet, we, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you are married to another Jesus Christ. And he is a jealous husband, and he will not permit worldliness in his children. And he will do what it takes to drive it out of us. Out of all of us. For he is a jealous husband for us. He is a jealous God. And he will not allow other things to be placed in front of him. Because he loves us, and we are children of light. Do we get that this morning? Are we walking as children of light? Because honestly, I wonder within the organized church, the so-called church, if there are many who are in it who are just illegitimate children, People who come and try to live a moral life. People who say they believe in God. People who say they believe in the Bible. People who think they're going to heaven, yet they've never surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives. When they are still children of darkness. Are you a child of light this morning? See, light is completely different from darkness. If it's not different, is it light? Now I understand there's stages in our journey, the stages of sanctification, of being conformed into the image of son, of his son, and we fail, we don't make it, we make mistakes. I get that. But that cannot be the same, and we never change. When we do that, the Holy Spirit convicts, and we repent, we turn, and we go for God. So I understand that, but I do wonder if there's some who just proclaim it, but never experience Jesus. Listen to James 1:27. And before I read that, if someone was to ask you a question, if there's three things that God would tell us to do, what would he do? What would his command be for us to do? If he could simplify things, and yes, we'd probably go to the first and great commandment, right? But listen to what James says about a religion before God that is pure and undefiled. Listen to this. James 1:27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress. So to visit orphans, one. Widows, two, in their affliction. And third, to keep oneself unstained. Are we keeping ourselves unstained from the world? Are we different? Are we light? Are we living as light and not darkness? You know, there are many ways that the world creeps into our lives. If it's through the books we read, the magazines we read, our people at job, the people we come in contact in the world, friends we may know, neighbors, music, movies, TV. So yes, there are many ways that the world can permeate into our lives. But how do we keep ourselves unstained from the world? How do we protect ourselves? Or some would say, can we even protect ourselves? Sure, some go off and isolate themselves as the Amish do. Or the Quakers. They cut themselves off. And sometimes, honestly, it's tempting at times. When I think of what my son will have to go through, my daughter has to go through, there's times I'd want to wish them up into the mountain and let them preserve in the sense of some of their innocence of the things they don't know. One prayer I pray for Kelton and Olivia, Lord, do not take them out of the world, but Lord, please keep them from the evil one, as Jesus prayed for his disciples. But as, you know, this week, as I look through my own childhood, you know, sometimes we do, our parents do things, and we'll like some things they do, we don't like, and we kind of hold things loosely, and we do it different as parents. But as I analyze my own life, it really woke up some things that my parents distilled in my life from a very young age. And how they helped me personally to keep myself unstained from the world in many ways. Not that I've not failed, not that I have stains I have to wash and come before the cleansing blood of Jesus. But they gave me things, and I hope this morning, if you don't mind, if I just share some of those things that my parents gave me. My parents being Mormons for 18 years and having a conversion to Christianity, a large family of seven children. My dad was a high priest in the Mormon church, and God encountered my parents, and they came to the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Pratts, as the Mormons would say. They would announce our family, and our family would do all these events, and they were very strong in the Mormon church. And when they left and they encountered Jesus, leaders from the Mormon church came and pled with tears that my parents would come back to the faith. But the thing is, my mom, who began that exodus, encountered Jesus in the midst of a nervous breakdown and encountered Jesus. And her life became consumed in Jesus until that day they came and they gave their life fully to the Lord. See, my mom gave her life to the Lord about 2 or 3 years while she was still in the Mormon church. She didn't know the Mormon church was wrong. But then the Lord began to reveal to my parents that they needed to leave. It was a different Jesus they were following than the one that they believed in. And they left. But when I think about what my parents instilled into my life, there was 3 things that they did in my life that helped me combat the world. One of the first things I thought when I was thinking through this is my parents created a safe place. And that was considered our home, a safe place from the world. Is your home a safe place from the world? Is it a safe place for your children, if you have children? You know, we can't always protect ourselves or our kids outside the home. We can inside it. Sure, there's rare exceptions when someone comes into the home, but we cannot always protect ourselves from people outside, the things outside, but we can. We have some control of what takes place in our home, in the place. If it's for our kids, or if you aren't married, for your home, when people come into it, the place, is it safe? Do they come and see light? Or is it just like the world? We have that control through the power of the Holy Spirit in our homes. My dad called our home his castle. It was his domain to protect it, to protect us from people outside it, and to protect us from within it. He even used the analogy he told me one time of a circus bear. He says, you know, Reed, I'm a circus bear. And if you ever met my dad, he came briefly. Hopefully he'll be able to come and spend some more time here. But he loves people. And my parents, when my mom was alive, they had people in our house all the time. One time we had up to like 13 to 15 people in our home. People that needed places to stay. They loved youth and they opened their home up to people. They wanted these people to come to a safe place and then they would facilitate growth in their walk with God. A safe place. And my dad says, you know, Reed, I'm a circus bear. People come in and out of this home. But if someone comes into my home, he's going to hurt my family. You must remember, I am a bear. And I will do what it takes to protect my family. They created a safe place for us. A safe place from the world. And you know, one way that my parents protected us as children was they were very strong into censoring what we watched on TV, the movies, the music, the things that came into our home. You know, I'll tell you, back in the day, I can barely say that compared to some of you, right? Back in the day, the movies were quite different, weren't they? Brady Bunch, House on the Prairie. I mean, that's me. But then we're watching up in the Sunday school the Ten Commandments, which were made in the 1950s. The difference in movies are pretty shocking. Recently, I've been watching, we have in our home Netflix and Amazon Prime. So we watch children's movies, or Di and I will get into a special show that we like. And my wife likes comedies and laughter. So I'll watch that with her as a loving husband. I want manly stuff, adventure. Gah. So there's times my wife is to sleep and I'll turn on a show and watch some adventure movie or something I've heard about, and I've been shocked at some of the things I come across. And really, I can't really give it any other name except pornography and perversion. Shocking things. I had to stop watching. I was hoping, oh, maybe it's just one time. Things I cannot even imagine ever even entering our home. What's scary about these things is these worldly images and ideas can flood right into our very home through our televisions, our safe place. My parents were too strict. I have discernment now. I'm a big adult now. And the world floods into our safe place. Remember, we are not of this world, and we are to live differently. So darkness or light can flow into our lives through that avenue of media. TV, movies, books we read. Was it 50 Shades of Grey? You know, somebody's excuses. Oh, I'm an adult now. I'm married now. Does that mean that we are to allow the filth of the world into our minds? Are we protecting ourselves from this pollution of the world? Are we making our house a refuge from the world? My parents were very strict on the movies I could or couldn't see. They would look at the language. If a scene came up, man, it was shut off, and that was most likely the end of the movie. Or maybe, oh, okay, it was a little bit, we'll fast forward a little bit. Back then, when the scene was much of a scene, at least the movies they let us see, there wasn't even much of a scene anyway. Oh, fast forward it. It's either off or, oh, give one more chance. Whoop, it's off. Boom. They would turn it right off to protect us, to protect our minds. And you know what my parents did? It helped me. When I hit puberty and my hormones went into high drive as a male, my mind did not have the extra fuel needed to inflame the fire of lust. Yes, I was a young man. Yes, I saw things out there and I had a battle like any man. But all the extra things that would have been in there weren't there. Even today at times, my wife laughs. I'll hear something and go, what's that? And she's like, well, you don't need to, you know, because they protected me. They protected what went into my mind. So sure, I battled it like anyone else, but I didn't have all that stuff that I'm like, oh, I remember this image. Because in my day, and maybe it seems to be changing, in my day, they always said, men were turned on by sight and women by touch. Even though there's some statistics that are changing where it used to be men who were caught up in pornography, but now it's women that are starting to really get pulled into pornography. Back in my day, it was like, I almost personally held women up as like this queen of princes. If that girl could love that guy, woohoo! Because, I mean, she was like some hot-looking girl, and this guy's like, what? Because I always thought, man, this woman, she looked at what was within. And sometimes guys tend to sometimes can focus on what they see. And so when I hit that stage of my life as a young man, and they protected me of what went into the image of my mind, because we're mainly all boys, six boys and one girl, it weakened the power of temptation of lust. It weakened it instead of inflaming it even more. And if you are a guy, or maybe a girl too, I'm just saying because I'm a guy so I can talk from the guys. Is that true? If you don't have all the image, you know, if you have an image, it's planted there forever. If you protect your mind, it doesn't get in your mind, and you bring in thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ, it's not as strong into your lives. Men, are you guarding and protecting your minds from the world, from the magazines, internet, movies, entertainment, and so on? Because the world is a seductress. It gives us pleasure for a moment. And then we're bound. Ladies, are you doing the same thing in your lives? Protecting the things you read, the things you watch. So as I said before, my home was a place of safety. Now, if that was all my parents did, I would have been in trouble. They would have protected me, and then I got to high school. Out of high school, surprise! Some people almost like they do. They protect you so much in that sense. Or that's all they do is protect you. The second thing my parents did for me is they equipped me with the tools so I could walk as a child of light. They taught me about God in the home. Oh, isn't that the church's job? It's your job, oh parents. It's your job, uncles, if you aren't married. It's your job for your nephews and other family members. They taught me about God, how to spend time with Him, how to pray, how to read the Bible. My parents, we went through a season where my parents would send us away as kids and send us away to spend time with God for half an hour. And then we were to come and be expected to share what God has spoken to us during our time with God. They taught us the importance of having a personal walk with God. So, when we go into the world, Christ in us, the hope of glory, we were not alone. That's a difference, isn't it? You could go and be taught all the morals you want. You could be in a protected home, but you know what? Unless Christ is in you and He empowers you through the work of the Holy Spirit, we will become just like the world. They equipped me to know God, to walk with Him. They filled our mind with constant light. There's a scripture in Hebrews, and I didn't look it up, that says that those who have their senses trained to discern between good and evil. We will not have our senses trained to do that unless we gaze constantly into the light, and the light of God's Word and the light of Scripture. How important that is to our lives. And then the third and final things my parents did for me. They modeled Christian living. They didn't just say it. They lived it. They spent time with God themselves. They didn't watch inappropriate movies either. Isn't that the temptation, the argument we have in our mind? My kids can't handle it, but I have discernment, so I could then fill my mind with trash. I'm guilty of that. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're like, oh, I know. I don't do that. Can we justify that? I'm married now. Or they lived it. We were looked at as kind of weird, I think, in some ways. My brother and I, we'd be with some friends, and a scene would come on. Oh! We'd run over and try to fast forward. And people are like, stop it! Because they were just mesmerized by it. And we were taught, because my parents would do that, oh! And we'd go and run off and try to fast forward. And people would get mad in the youth group. Why would you do that? They were enjoying it. But they modeled it. They spent time with God. They lived it. They overcame temptation when they came across it. Well, they failed like we did, but they confessed and repent. I remember my dad telling me what he did about lust. He said, Reed, if a thought comes in my mind, so like for example, if I'm driving down the road and this image floods into my mind, so I take it out and I throw it on the next telephone pole I go by. If another one comes, I do the same thing over and over. He was teaching me what it means to learn to bring our thoughts into captivity to obedience of Christ. And if you do that, it's hard. If you haven't done it, it's killer. My dad used the analogy of lust with the youth because my parents worked with youth all the way up through. Years they worked with youth. We have youth in our homes. And he used the analogy of a sleeping lion. Oh, youth, please keep the lion asleep. Because when you wake him up, it's practically impossible to put him back to sleep. Right? So my parents did these three things for me: protect, equip, and model. A home, a safe place, a protection. They equipped us to know God, to spend time with God, and they modeled it through their own lives. If we have the worship team come forward. They taught us how to walk as children of light. Are we walking as children of light? Are we filling our minds? Are we filling those people who are around our children's lives with light or darkness? Now, parents, the challenge for you parents here. I don't know about you, but are you pretty exhausted by the end of the day to do that? Your kids are at school, you come back. I know that's what we struggle with. We're so exhausted. We'd rather purse out kids in front of the TV and just relax. And we failed at that many times. But I know when I've been thinking about this, what can I do to take the things that I learned and distill into my children? It's hard. We're tired as parents. But if we continue to abide in Christ ourselves, we walk with Christ ourselves, He will empower us to be the parent He wants us to be. Are we walking as children of light this morning? Is there areas of your life that you just need to come and surrender before the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Are you filling your mind with light or darkness? Are we protecting those who God's entrusted in our sphere of influence? Are we light? Men, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Women, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Parents, keep yourself unspotted from the world. What is the will of the Lord for us this morning? We are to walk as children of light. And I just want to read a passage. I'm just going to read this passage, and I'm just going to sit down. We're going to worship the song before we have our communion and our special offering. But let me just read this passage. But I think Paul says it so well, so why just let's just read it and let God's word speak to us this morning. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or is covetous, which is an idolater, has no inheritance into the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.